Good morning. My name is not John Walker. If you were expecting John, sorry. This has been an interesting week, full of highs and full of some really, really lows, but it's been a week. 38 years ago, I was invited by a girl named Carolyn Kane to go to Mountain View Christian Camp. My first time, I didn't know what Mountain View Christian Camp was, but Carolyn Kane asked me to go, and she was pretty cool, so I was like, all right, I can do that. In the last 38 years, I have only spent two summers not there. One was last year when everything was canceled, and then one, I just had a year I couldn't make it. But out of the past 38 years, I have spent all but two at Mountain View Christian Camp, and that is awesome. It took 38 years. This is the first time in 38 years that I got sent home early. And if you knew me when I was younger, you would be shocked that it took 38 years. 38 years, they finally sent me home early. I love Mountain View. I was the speaker this week. Frump asked me to speak at Mountain View, and I was like, yeah, I would love to do that. It's just such a great place. It's amazing. And so when we found out everything was going on, John asked me if I would speak this week, and I was like, yes, I could totally do that. And he said, will you do the sermon that you did about birds? And I was like, yes. So here's a little background information that you need to know. I have a family. I have a wife and two boys. And something about my wife and me, we love to entertain. We love having our friends over. We love hanging out with them and just doing life and playing games and messing around. I like to cook. I'm fairly okay, I think, at cooking. So I like to cook and I like to make good food for my friends and hang out. And so last year we were like, okay, well, you can't go on vacation anywhere. So we normally love to go to Maine. It's our favorite place in the world. It's our Hawaii. We love Maine. And we were like, well, we're not going to Maine this year, so what can we do? So we decided to build a patio. We got a patio put on our house, which is awesome, and it's huge. And I bought a smoker, and we got a hot tub, and we have all this cool furniture out there for you to sit on. And it's really fun, and we're like really excited to be able to hang out and entertain people. And everybody's like, oh, you should get an awning because awnings are really cool. So we were like, okay, hey, we should get an awning because I heard it makes it cooler when you're under it, and that's good because who likes to be hot? And if you get one of those cool awnings with the motor, you can literally sit there and go, and that goes, and then you go, and it goes, and you'll do that about a million times when you get an awning because it's just really fun to do. And so we got this patio. We're so excited to have people over. And so some things you need to know about my family. My wife, she is very, 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 very clean. She loves to have everything perfect and in order and where everything is supposed to be, nothing out of place. And she married me and had two boys. So you can guess how that works out for her most of the time. But she loves to have a clean house and a really pretty house. She's very crafty. She does really fun things with weird things that people would never think would be crafty, and she makes them look really good. And when our friends come over, sometimes they're afraid to touch anything because they think that Michelle will yell at them, but she won't. She's really nice. But she loves to have a cool, clean house that looks great. I once posted on Facebook that watching my wife vacuum was like watching Michael Jordan play basketball. She is like the goat of cleaning. Like, she is just the all-time greatest cleaner. And so we added this patio. And it's a patio, it's outside, so I thought nothing of it. But now my wife has taken up two new hobbies, power washing and leaf blowing. Yeah. So I think that's like the new triathlon. I think if there's a cleaning Olympics, she will be a triathlete with the blowing, power washing, and vacuuming events. So one day she comes in, and I'm sitting in the living room just hanging out, and she walks in, and she goes, hey, we got birds. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means. And she goes, well, I went out there today to sit on our patio, and there were twigs. And I was like, oh, they're clearly boy birds because they're making messes. She's like, so we got birds. We got to get rid of them. So we did some research and said, okay, how do you get rid of, tried to figure out what kind of birds they were first, and they were sparrows. So we're like, okay, how do you get rid of sparrows? And it's like, oh, just get rid of the nest. So we went out to the patio, and we looked, and we turned out this is a three-person job to get rid of a nest, we discovered. So, here are the players involved. Okay, so that is me and my wife, and we're gonna do this because we're a team, so we're like, okay, we're definitely in on this. And we each have strengths and weaknesses. I am funny and make every situation more fun. That's really my strength in this. My weakness is I really don't take anything seriously and like to goof around. She is the brains of the operation, the planner, the researcher. She's really smart, and as an added bonus, she's pretty. I can't think of any weaknesses that she brings to this equation. So our next two candidates for position three are Jake. Funny, goofy, a little calculating are some of his strengths. His biggest weakness, terrified of birds. Like, deathly terrified of birds. Like, I used to watch TV shows where, like, they would show people, like, get scared and, like, they couldn't move and they would. And I was like, that's so fake. And then my younger son found a fake bird one time and I saw that that's not really fake. Like, some people are really like that. They get paralyzed fear. And my younger son would torment him and chase him around the house. So Jake is candidate for position three. He's a possibility. The other candidate is Jonathan. He brings debonair good looks and flowing hair to the equation, but his weakness is we're doing this after 4 p.m. and he is still in bed. So he's out. So it turns out this is going to be a three-person job handled by Michelle, me, and Jake. So three positions are available for this. We need some person to climb the ladder and get in there and get the nest out. We need a person to hold the ladder so that it's stable and the person on the ladder doesn't fall off. And the disgusting job is the person who's on the ground and having to catch the bird's nest as it's being dropped so that it doesn't scatter everywhere and make a mess on the patio. So I get elected to be the person who is the catcher. So I'm on the ground. So I gear up fully and put on a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. Jake is the ladder holder because he says, no way am I catching anything or going near a bird's nest. So he's going to hold the ladder. He gears up and he puts on, you know, shorts and a t-shirt. And Michelle says, well, I'm going up the ladder and I'm going to pull this thing out of there. And so Michelle gears up. Okay. So many things came to my mind and I just wanted to make jokes all day. So we go and we are out there and I told her I wouldn't leave that picture up the whole time. But like she's really like covered. Like she's got everything. She's got the hazmat suit, the sunglasses, the mask, the gloves. I think there's duct tape involved in there somewhere to seal holes. And like she is ready. Like she's full bore like into this. So she climbs up the ladder. I get the remote on the awning. So you'd think like the nest is sitting like right on the awning, like right up against it. So you would think if there are any birds in there, they hear the awning, they would fly out, right? Because that's what birds should do. So we think, okay, we should be good, but we know maybe not. So we get up there, and Michelle gets up there, and you know we're poking at the bird's nest and hitting it and stuff. Nothing, all good. She like moves it, nothing, all good. So we're like, okay, let's just start taking this down. So I'm now got the bag open. I'm standing there. She grabs a piece of the nest and pulls it out. In the best moment of my life, six sparrows fly out of this nest. Jake falls to the ground with a screech that lit up every dog for 6 miles. And Michelle just stood there holding the piece of the nest going, oh! I assume she made that face. I couldn't see it because it was totally covered with glasses, face mask, and hood. But we ripped the nest out. And I'm like, why is Jonathan sleeping and not videotaping this? This was totally a four-person job. Oh! But it was awesome. Like, I laughed so hard. I couldn't do anything. If they had both fallen, I would have just been, like, still laughing because the birds flying out was hysterical. It was awesome. So we get the nest ripped out, get everything cleaned up. We're like, ah, okay, birds are gone. Great. Next day, we come out. Michelle goes, hey, we got birds. And I'm like, no, we ripped the nest out. We researched this. It said if you take the nest out, the birds go away. And she was like, yeah, they don't go away. And she's like, now there's a mess. So, you know, then she gets out her blower and her power washer and two-fisting it like a gunslinger. So we get that cleaned up, and then we're like, okay, we got to go back up there and rip more nest out. So we do a little more research. She's like, find out how to get rid of sparrows, like, for real. And I'm like, okay. So I come up to her, and I say, hey, I did some research. And two things that I found out. One, my preference, is the non-PETA-approved bird poison that you can make in your kitchen and put out, and it will kill the birds. There's also a PETA-approved method, but I was like, eh. Or you can get bird spikes. And she was like, okay, let's try bird spikes. So we go to the store and we buy bird spikes. Bird spikes are these clear plastic spikes that you put up. It makes your house look like a castle, like you have some medieval gate. And the bird, they keep the birds out. So we saw where the birds were coming in. They were flying up under the awning. So we put all these strips of bird spikes. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. Like, you know, I guess, all right, we got spikes and they're clear and they're hidden. So I'm like, okay, no big deal. So that worked. Like, no birds. We're like, hey, this is cool. 3 days later, we go back out. Michelle goes, hey, the birds are back. And I'm like, what do you mean the birds are back? We got bird spikes. And she was like, yeah, they're back. So I was like, oh, okay. I was like, can we do the non-PETA thing? And she was like, no, not yet. So she's like, hold on to that. So we do some more research, and we're like, oh, okay, so we can do more bird spikes on top. So we put them underneath, but now clearly they had moved to the sides and top. So we got more bird spikes. Jake and I put these ones, we couldn't zip tie. We had to glue these ones, and we put bird gel around them. And now, like, it's looking, like, really, really, my awning looks ominous now because it has spikes all over it. So, like, when it goes out, it's like, zzz, but it looks evil now as it goes out. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we got the spikes there. That worked for about an hour and a half, and then the birds were like, hey, look, they gave us something to land on. So now they're landing on the bird spikes. And at this point, I'm getting really mad, and I'm like, Michelle, can we kill the birds? Like, can we just get a gun, and we'll, like, start shooting birds, and then we'll cut their heads off and put them on the spikes like they used to do with pirates to warn the other birds to stay away. And she's like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, ugh. She's taking the fun out of everything involved in this. So we put those other spikes up, and they landed, and we're like, okay, what do we do now? So then it's bird balloons and streamers. Okay, so now we get these two bird balloons. They look like beach balls. If you've never seen a bird balloon, it looks like a beach ball. It's yellow. It has a black circle, a red circle inside the black circle, and then a little sparkly circle inside that. And it has two streamers that hang off of it. So we put two of those up, and then we put these added streamers onto our awning. Now it literally looks like we are two broken down cars in the front yard and a toilet away from living in Alabama right now with all these balloons and streamers. I'm sorry, if you're watching on Facebook and you're from Alabama or living in Alabama, please insert Kentucky into that joke. If you're from Kentucky, I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. But so like I'm just like, this is so terrible. Like, it just looks so bad, and I'm mad because I'm like, I want to use this to entertain people and not have them laugh at us because it's like this. And I'm like, oh, this is so goofy. But it seemed to work. So we were like, yes, we can hang out on our patio and enjoy this investment that we made and have people over. It'll look weird, but whatever. We can have people over and do this. And so this is so good. We're like, this is just great. And it lasted for about a week. And then guess what? The birds came back again. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, at this point, I'm looking online for blow torches and stuff that I can just burn. Like, I'm just ready to burn the whole house down. Like, let's do a total rebuild at this point. And I'm ready to take the awning off. I'm like, I can't even go out here and enjoy this. Because, like, literally, like, it had gotten to the point, like, every time I hear a chirp, I would just get enraged. And I do know the difference between sparrows and any other bird in the world now. When I hear a sparrow, I'm like, oh, that's a sparrow. Like, it's, like, maddening. I'm like, oh, this is driving me insane. Why? And so we're like, what can we do now? So we went to Country Max looking for copper mesh. And I had done, like, so much research. Like, I am, like, a birdologist. I don't know what the real word is for it. I should probably learn that because I am one. But, like, I have put a lot of time and investment into studying sparrows now. And so we go to Country Max, and Michelle's like, okay, here's copper mesh. And here I am with, like, I found these gigantic sparkly things that you stick in the ground and that you can get rid of birds because birds don't like bright, shiny things. And they're like $150 each. And I'm like, I got two of those in my arms, and I'm grabbing all this other stuff. I'm like, more bird spikes, more everything. And I'm like, carrying this. And Michelle's like, no, I got the copper mesh. And I'm like, no, we need all of this. And she's like, it's all ugly. And I was like, I know, but it doesn't matter. I don't want the birds. So we settled on copper mesh, and we got copper mesh, and we wrapped that all up under the thing where they were getting in, and we're like, yes. Nope. Birds are back. So birds don't like sparkly things. We bought a shiny, well, Jonathan had it because he has weird stuff, but it's this, like, star projector because apparently birds don't like laser lights, so now we're shooting green and red laser lights on our patio. We got the streamers going, balloons, spikes, copper mesh. Okay. It's like a party. Birds don't care about sparkling laser lights. That did not faze them at all. We ordered pinwheels from Amazon, so now we have pinwheels lining the thing. Like, you know, when you go to a fair when you're like four and your parents buy you a pinwheel, you're like, yeah, we got those all over. They're sparkly. Still got birds. Nothing. It's like, oh. We finally got more copper mesh, wrapped the upper spikes on the thing. That worked for a little bit, and then we finally found pool noodles. Jammed pool noodles up in there behind the awning, and as of this moment, we have no birds. Yes. It's crazy. And I was telling this story at camp, and somebody said, why can't you just have sparrows? And I was like, oh, why can't we just have sparrows? Like, it seems like a live and let live situation. Why can't we just have sparrows? And here's why. Because sparrows are nasty and dirty, and they carry all kinds of diseases. There are not, the common house sparrow, it does not live in wooded areas or barren areas or fields. It lives where there's people. It's a scavenger. It's miserable. It's filthy. They poop all over everything. They leave just nastiness all over everything. They're just, there's no good that comes of having sparrows. And that's a lot like how we live sometimes. We have a little crack. We leave a little space open. We're doing good, but we leave a little bit of room and sin starts to creep in. We let temptation say, and we're like, okay, it's just one sparrow. It's just one bird. It's not a big deal. But then the birds build and they build and they build nests in us. And that's how sin works. We give it a little bit of an opening and all of a sudden it starts taking over and it starts poisoning us. It starts making us sick. It starts filling us with disease and all the stuff that we don't want in our lives. But we still keep thinking, it's just one sparrow. It's just one sparrow. And we get rid of that one, but we don't fill the hole. We leave that hole open and that sparrow comes back. And that issue creeps back into our lives. And it's filling us and filling us. And you see, until we decide that we're going to do everything we can to get rid of that and we're going to equip ourselves right, we leave ourselves open to those attacks. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, God talks about the armor of God. And he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's evil schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You see, we were going about this project not looking at the full armor. We were kind of putting pieces in place. We saw, okay, here's something we can do, and here's something we can do, but we weren't fully committed to doing that. We weren't ready to make that all-in sacrifice that it took to get rid of the birds. We weren't ready to fill in every crack. You see, and so we did that, and you know, the ways that we do that, I got to tell this story at camp this week, and you know, I think the ways that we do that are really, we look at Philippians 4:8, and it says this, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We focus on that. We use that as our goal. We fill all the cracks with that. You see, I told you about this week being kind of a messed up week, and there's a lot of good and bad in it. So the sad part of this week is that I was at Mountain View Christian Camp, and we had to end the week early. And that was hard. Eric called me. I was working. I was coming back and forth between work and camp, and called me and told me that we did have a positive test, and asked my opinions on it, and I said, you know, I think the right thing to do, I think the best thing to do is to, you know, I said, what the guidance is that we shut it down. We have to shut it down, unfortunately. And I hung up the phone after we had that conversation and felt ill. I just felt so sick that we had to do that, that we live somewhere where these are the decisions that we're having to make. And it's not because I had great stories to tell. It's not because I really wanted to hang out with all my friends that were at camp. Those things are all great. I love every bit of those things. But it's because the most important lessons I've learned in my life, a lot of them happened there. And the one thing that I saw when I was there is that there were a lot of kids there that were infected. There were a lot of kids there that had birds, that had cracks, that were allowing that to creep into their lives. And some of them feel so hopeless and far away from Jesus. And the thing that I will always remember about Mountain View is that no matter where I was in life, no matter where I was at in my walk with God, when I was furthest from him, that was always a place that I could go and was shown love. And God is like that. And it broke my heart that there are kids that may not have gotten to hear that this week. We are working on doing stuff still to try to get some virtual stuff out. But it hurts so bad to know that there are kids who may not get to hear that. Because it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter how far we feel from God. He's right there. We're never out of the reach of his grace. And Mountain View showed me that. And I get to stand up here because of those lessons learned. If you have kids, I beg you to send them to Mountain View. It is amazing, and there is so much greatness that comes out of that. And we will be back, and it will be awesome. And that was hard. But there was goodness that happened this week, too. On Monday, I got to celebrate something. Mark, you have that other next picture? Yeah, 24 years ago, that happened this week. And it was a great moment. It was such a good moment. Can you go to the next one? Look at those two kids, young and crazy and in love. That was a great day. And here's what I know. We're the bride of Christ. And there comes a day when Jesus comes back. And those are good days, guys. See, we dress ourselves in those hazmat suits and craziness and live in the armor so that when the groom comes, when Jesus returns, we're ready. I can show you about 800 pictures from our wedding day, and the smiles, you know, those are probably the smallest smiles. Jesus is coming, and we get to be with him forever. And so please, I would beg you today, accept the gift of Jesus. Accept his love, put on the helmet of salvation, fill the cracks in your life with goodness, with things that are pure, with things that are worthwhile. Study his word so that you can walk with a light on your path. And know this, wherever you are, whatever situation is, God loves you. And you are not far from him, no matter how far you feel. Let's pray.